Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. And thank God that we are able to be here one more time to get into none other than the Word of our God. So thank God, amen. Just one more time, amen. So it's good to be here. We missed a few weeks there, hit and miss a little bit, but I'm glad to be back. Really trying and tragic time in my life when my wife had been in the hospital and was ill, and we were hoping against hope, but she went home to be with the Lord on December the 5th, just the other day. So thank God that she's not in pain anymore. So it's good for us to be here. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. To be here. So we thank God for that. So we're back into our lessons. We have been talking previously. We finished up the second book of the Corinthians, and then we had got into the book of Galatians for a couple weeks there. So we thank God that we have Him. Amen. Scripture says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So God brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And knowing that the comfort that we talked about, even back in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, talking about comfort, definitely felt that. Definitely felt the prayers of the saints, the people of God, and God is a comforter. We thank God for that. So knowing that the grass, the flower faded, grass withered away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So thank God. Amen. We can see His word being fulfilled, and truly we are in the last days. So like James says, what is your life? Your life is a vapor. It appears for a little time, then it vanishes away. So we can see that. So thank God, amen, for the prayers of the people of God. So we, like the Bible says, we ought to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get to that. I believe that's in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians, but thank God for His word on today as we move forward in His word. So we can see so many things going on, truly, that we are living in the last days, like the Bible said, and because iniquity shall abound, in the words of Jesus, the love of many shall wax old. So God's word is definitely being fulfilled. So much is going on in our world today. That is in the name of greed. So many are so selfish, that is, some rich, that is, and they have the attitude that I have mine, and too bad for you if you don't get yours. But that's not what God's word says. So folks don't have the opportunity in many cases to get what they need. So we thank God, amen, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, as the Bible said, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So thank God. He's no respecter of person. Them that fear him and walk up upright, that's what he's looking for. He wants our heart to be clean. Now, on this week, we're kind of, we know we had left off in Galatians, the 4th chapter and the 10th verse, kind of go back a little bit. You know, we were talking about the heir. As long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So he's under tutors and governors till the time appointed of the Father. So our historian, he talked about that on last time. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time, of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So we know that's talking about Jesus. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So now, it's like what I mentioned on last time, when a child is born, there's a sound that the doctor wants to hear, and that is he wants to hear the baby cry. And that's in the natural, and so it is in the spiritual. When you're born again, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Literally, Daddy. So you're born again. You're not going to just, you received him into your heart and just on a confession. But when you're born again, like the Bible said, Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. And he goes on to say, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You can hear a baby cry. You can hear a babe in Christ speak in another tongue or another language. So that's the rest, like he says, and the refreshing, amen, that you receive when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So he goes on, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them, which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Question, you observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling the Galatians, the church at Galatia. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Question. They as seriously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be seriously affected always, and a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. So he is admonishing them here of things that they should done, they should be doing as the people of God. So they're not hurting him. They may hurt his feelings, or just sometimes it's, you feel bad. You're telling somebody something and you realize that they're not really getting it, not really comprehending it. But they're hurting their own selves. So when we don't open our heart up to God, we really are hurting ourselves. So this is what we want to do today. Talk about the bondmaid, the free woman, the flesh, the promise, and we being heirs. So what do we want to talk about? Law and grace and the two covenants. So just like the Bible says, these things are an allegory. So much to be said here. And like I said, we are trying to back up a little bit and rehearse. But they, like, especially in verse 4, it's talking about Jesus when he came. But when the fullness of time of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So the Son of God came from the seed of the woman. This is what we were trying to do on last time, to kind of draw your minds in on the oneness of God, how this is all about the Lord, how he did this. So this is why he let them know, even back, if we back up a little bit, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so it's so important that the church, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So in the church, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So that's what's so important about that particular statement, when you're in the body of Christ. So there's so we know the Jews as a nation, that is the remnant that is left over, the 12,000, and 12,000 from every tribe, which is 144,000. But in the body of Christ, there is no Jew or Greek or bond or free, but we're all one in the body of Christ. So then, like I said, today we want to talk about law and grace and the two covenants. And so we are talking about bondmaid, free woman, flesh, promise, and heir. Amen. So we're going to be getting ready to turn it over into the hands of our historian. And we know we left off in the fourth chapter here of Galatians in the 10th verse. We got right there where you observe days and months and times and years. So that's what we're going to be getting at. So we thank God that our historian is ready to take over. And in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain, we're going to receive him in his own way. Let's say amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. We are in Galatians, the fourth chapter. Now, we haven't been on air for a few weeks. Let's give just a little bit of background on this book once again, just to establish a set place and know where exactly where Paul is writing from, because this church was not just one particular congregation, but Galatia was a region in Asia Minor that Paul was writing to. So this is a collection of churches that were coming together. And when Paul wrote this letter, there was a contingency. This is one of Paul's first epistles that he's written. There's a contingency that came out of the camp of James, out of the church in Jerusalem, that were teaching a doctrine that said that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And really what that does is put the law over grace once again, and it says that the baptism in Jesus' name is really of none effect. Really, they're trying to take the power out of the name baptism and out of receiving the Spirit of God. This is the whole contention within the 15th chapter of Acts, that these men should not be preaching this doctrine. And when they came together in Jerusalem and had their
council
pretty much, with their gathering of all the churches and all the church elders to present doctrine. And that's really what councils and conventions should be. There should be a time of fellowship, but it should also be a time where you establish a oneness mind state, so that the brother may be of one mind,
yeah,
and of one heart,
yeah,
and that you establish a common teaching among all of the brethren, so that you don't have divisions among you,
yeah,
as was the case in our last epistle that we studied, the book of Corinthians. There was many different camps within that church that they followed after different doctrines and different teachings of different men. So, but when they came together and they were in Jerusalem for this council, when they finally came forward before James, and I'm looking for the place of it, but I'm not going to worry about that. When they came forward, James said, I didn't send them out to teach this doctrine. I didn't send them out. I didn't teach them like this. They went out there on their own and began to teach this and go against the doctrine. So we have to be careful of what we hear and careful of what we follow after and what we put our name to. It's right there in the 15th chapter of Acts, in the 24th verse. This is James speaking, James the Lord's brother, who became a leader, or what Paul called a pillar within the church community. He became what was essentially what we would call the presiding bishop of the church in that day. That's kind of the role that he took on after the church was established. Everybody talks about Peter and talks about Paul, but James was really one of the main figures in the church in that day. Peter preached. He had the keys to open up to both Jew, Samaritan, and Gentile, but once the Jews were established within Jerusalem, James took over that congregation, and James led the church in those early days.
Yeah.
So in the 15th chapter of Acts, the 24th verse, he says, "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment." He said we didn't teach them that. We
That's
didn't
right.
tell them to go out there and say that stuff.
Right.
They came out there on their own accord and said that, and were prescribing it to my teaching. But that's not my teaching. That's not what I was teaching in this church. And that's not a standard that I'm going to uphold with the Gentiles. Now, if you're a Jew living in Jerusalem, it was custom, it was standard to follow after that. That's a standard that they set in their church.
Yeah.
It's not a worldwide standard or a global standard within the church world that you have to follow after the law and be circumcised. They did that in Jerusalem because they would not be received at all. They would not be heard at all if they didn't follow after the customs of the Jews, because if you were a Jew that didn't follow after the customs, you were considered a heretic. So in order not to be seen as a heretic, they had to submit to those standards. They had to submit to those customs. Paul did the same thing when he went into Jerusalem. He purified himself and was in the temple 3 days before they took him out. So this was kind of the background of this, because Galatia was one of the regions that these men had reached and were teaching this doctrine and saying that the law superseded the doctrine of grace or the doctrine of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was telling them, no. The law was simply a schoolmaster.
Right.
It was simply something that prepared the way for us to step into our inheritance. And now that we are in the church, we are in the inheritance. We have something more perfect than the law. We have the love of Christ within us, which fulfills the law. Amen?
Yes.
So now, as we are looking in this, let's go back to the 10th verse. I was about to go into the allegory,
yes,
but we're not quite there yet. It says in the 10th verse, for in chapter 3 of Galatians, verse number 10, it says, for as many as are of the... Chapter 4, verse 10, I'm sorry. Ye observe days and months and times and years. This is all talking about the calendar, talking about, because the Jewish calendar goes along with the feast of the Lord, or the feast of Jehovah, or the feast of Yahweh. There were seven feasts that they were commanded to observe throughout the year. There's three feasts right in the beginning of the year, in the first month. Those three feasts were Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Those three feasts all went together. They went for a couple of weeks. Then they counted 50 days from first fruits, and then you had the Feast of Pentecost. So then after that, they counted another number of days, and you had the last three feasts right there in a row, which was Atonement, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. All of those went together. So these were the observances, and if you didn't observe these, once again, in Jewish custom, if you didn't observe these feasts, you were considered a heretic. But the Lord was no longer looking at these feast days and being pleased with them. He told Isaiah, he said, I've filled my sword with blood, with the blood of lambs and the blood of bullocks and goats, and I'm no longer pleased. I'm not pleased with the sacrifices that they are bringing forth. I was so displeased with it, I took my ark out of the temple. At the point when Jesus was crucified, they no longer had the Ark of the Covenant within the temple. That was where God came and rested. That was his dwelling place. That was his throne on this earth, that was representative of his throne on this earth, and it no longer was there. So he was not coming down into their worship any longer. They were just going through the motions. It was vain worship. It was vain sacrifice. They were just killing animals. They wasn't even sacrificing unto the Lord, because he wasn't accepting the sacrifice that
right.
they were giving unto him. So to observe those days and to observe those feasts and to observe all those Sabbaths, God put all that stuff away. God put that away because Jesus Christ had come. He fulfilled all the feasts.
Yeah.
He was the Passover. He was the first fruits. He served as unleavened bread. He did not rise on that second day. He was Pentecost. Amen? He was the trumpets. He was the atonement. He was the rest, the tabernacle. He is the tabernacle.
Yeah.
And now he has given it into the hands of the church. Amen?
Amen.
So he has given us that rest. He has given us all those feast days. He has given us the Sabbath. That's why we no longer have to worship on the Sabbath day. We have the Sabbath within us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yeah.
That is the rest that he has given us in this day. We no longer have to take aside a day to rest on Saturday and worship on Saturday. That's not for this age. That's not for this generation. That's not for this dispensation. We are in a different dispensation than the dispensation of Moses. We are in a different dispensation than the dispensation of Abraham. Although we have the promises that were given unto Abraham, we have the promises, that the prophecies that were given unto Moses, we have that. Those were for our example. We are in a different dispensation, so we have to follow after present truth. If you follow after a truth that is past tense, that is not for this generation, you are not following after truth.
Yes.
You are following after a past truth. If you are following after a truth that is for a future generation, which is future truth, you're not following after truth. You have to walk in present truth in order to be in truth in your day. So we have to rightly divide dispensations. You have to rightly divide ages. You have to rightly divide promises. You have to rightly divide all of the word of God in order to find truth, in order to find the promises that are pertaining to your generation.
Yeah.
And we are in the generation of the church. We are in the church dispensation, the church age. We have to follow after the promises that were set aside for the church.
Yes. And I'd like to just inject, I forgot to give out the call-in, guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566.
Amen. And so it is important for us to follow after truth, not just any truth, but present truth.
Yeah.
And we are not to observe days and months and times and years and feasts and Sabbaths or celebrations or any of that stuff. We're not to be worshiping after those types of things or after those types of manners. That's not set aside for the church. We are supposed to worship after Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
We are supposed to worship him together. We are supposed to collect together in worship and come together as a people. As a congregation, if you do not hold to that, it is sin. If you're not a member of a congregation and you are what is considered a believer, you're supposed to gather yourselves together.
Yeah.
Let's go to Hebrews. And it's Hebrews 10.
Yeah.
Verse number 20. Let's start at verse number. Let's start at verse number 23.
Yeah.
It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering."
Yeah.
That means you're not wavering from side to side, but you are standing strong. You are standing firm in the faith that you are professing. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So now, how can you provoke somebody to love if you don't see them, if you're not around them?
Yeah.
If you have no contact with the person, how can you provoke them to love? That's one reason why we come unto one another. We are supposed to provoke one another unto love and good works to each other. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. He's talking to saints here. He's talking to saved believers.
Yes.
This is what the purpose of the epistles are, is people that are in the body of Christ.
Yes.
It says, in the very next verse, for if we sin willfully after that which we have received, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sin. So if you forsake the assembling of yourselves, really what you are doing is you are leaving out of the place of grace. When example of this is example of a place of grace is when Shimei cursed David. David gave him a provision in order for him to continue to live. David told Shimei, after he cursed him, because Shimei was out of the house of Saul, he told him, he said, do not leave Jerusalem, because if you leave Jerusalem, you will get killed. I will come and I will kill you. And before David died, he gave that charge, that same charge to Solomon. He said, if Shimei leaves out of the walls, he leaves out of the gates of Jerusalem, he needs to get killed. Because the judgment I laid upon him. He's in a place of grace. He is in a place of refuge that he cannot leave out of. But there was, I believe he lost some sheep, and he had to go across that Kidron and leave out of the gates of Jerusalem and came back. But Solomon found out that he left out of the place of grace. He left out of the place of refuge. He left out of the place, out of the boundaries that were set for him. We have boundaries set for us in the church that we have to stay within grace. We have to come and assemble ourselves together and testify of the Lord, come together in love. We come together in worship. We come together in praise. This is what we are supposed to do. As the body of believers, we are supposed to come together and assemble ourselves. But if we do not assemble ourselves, we are leaving out of the place of grace. And we are sinning willfully because we know we are supposed to come together. We know we are supposed to worship one another. I don't care about what attitudes another person may have. I don't care about a disposition that another person may have or what's going on with that other person. We are still supposed to show love to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are supposed to have love for one another, no matter our shortcomings, no matter our downfalls, no matter what we're going through, we should still love one another at the end of the day. And we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves, because if we do, we are sinning willfully. And if you sin willfully, what does it say here? It says there's no more sacrifice for your sins. Love covereth a multitude of sins. But if you are not in a place of love, if you are not in a place where you can receive love, if you're not in a place where you can give love, how can love cover your sins?
And one thing about that, no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus is not going to go back to Calvary and die again.
Amen.
Once at the end of the world, he put away sin, the Bible said, by the sacrifice of himself. So he was a sin offering.
Amen.
So that's why we got to love. That's why he told the disciples, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So that's what we got to do. We got the love of Christ in us.
Amen.
We're going to be concerned, just like the natural body. If something happens, you hurt your leg or you hurt your finger, the rest of the body is going to come to the rescue.
Amen. And the blood of the Lamb is on the post of the door. Amen. And the post of the door is the church. Amen. The blood is over the church, so you can't go outside of the church and try to find the blood. That the blood, the sacrifice was laid out for the church. He came into the world and sacrificed himself in the world, but he did that in order to get the treasure that was in the world that he wanted, which was the church. So we have to understand that we have to assemble ourselves. That is our worship. We don't worship in feast days. We don't worship in days and months and Sabbaths any longer. So as we go back into Galatians, the fourth chapter, it says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel or a messenger of God, even as Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was inside of me preaching this gospel unto you.
Yeah.
So this is how you received me, that I was preaching this gospel, that you would come where I am because I am in the same place that you are. Amen?
Amen.
And I was in the same place that you were, and I was testifying of my God. I was testifying of the works that he did for us, and that I am laboring for you because he labored for me. But he says, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of you because I don't want to have done all this work in vain.
Yeah.
Just to have somebody undercut my crop. Amen? Because let's take that example. If I come and plant a seed and somebody else comes and does something to sabotage my crop,
right,
that can be damaging to
right.
me. If you take the example of the parable that Jesus spoke, he said a man came and sowed his seed in the field, and then that night after he was done, the enemy came and sowed tares into that same field.
Yeah.
And when they came up, the wheat and the tares came up together, so much so that you could not tell who the wheat was and who the tares were.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the harvesters came and they said, well, there's tares and wheat, should we pull out all the tares? He said, no.
Not so.
He said, because if you pull out those tares, he said, you might uproot the wheat.
That's
also.
What he said. Yeah.
So he doesn't want this labor to be in vain. He doesn't want everything that he has worked for, because he sowed the seed, he watered, God had to give the increase. He said, but I don't want anything to be in vain, because there's been tares planted with amongst you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We can go there real quick. It's in St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Let's go to Matthew 13. And he says, that's the explanation of it. There's
mm-hmm.
two portions of this. The 13th chapter, and starting at the 24th verse, he says,
mm-hmm.
another parable put forth he unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field.
Mm-hmm.
But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You see that word, while men slept? That is representative of the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
When the apostles, as long as the apostles were on the scene, as long as the apostles were on this earth preaching the gospel, false doctrine could not get in.
Mm-hmm.
Hold your hands there and go to Revelation, the book of the Revelation. Now, if you divide these seven churches that he's speaking unto in seven church ages, the first church age that Jesus speaks to in the second chapter is the church of Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
This church is representative of the days of the apostles, the days that the church was first born. This is what, when the apostles were alive and well. He says, unto the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. For thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. How were they able to try those that were apostles? There was a testament apostle. They had to have an understanding of all the Old Testament scriptures. They had to have the testimony that they walked with Jesus, and they had to be there for the entirety of his ministry.
Yeah,
that's how they picked out Matthias,
mm-hmm.
because he fit all the qualifications. Thou hast borne, that means thou hast carried, and thou hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee that thou hast left thy first love. Amen. We don't really have to talk about time to talk about the first love, but skip down to verse number 6. It says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So this doctrine of the Nicolaitan doctrine means to rule over the people. This was supposed to be the Nicholas that was in the 6th chapter of Acts. He developed his doctrine and made a priesthood and ruled over them. That doctrine gave way in later churches in, I believe it was Thyatira, that doctrine was able to infiltrate and get it within. It was in Pergamos that the doctrine was upheld and was able to come into the church age and bring in false doctrine. This was during the time of the Council of Nicaea, where they were able to establish that the Catholic Church would be the dominant church, would be the dominant doctrine throughout the world, and from there, Christianity was associated with Catholicism from then on. But that is not so. That is not how God wanted it. That is not pleasing unto God. He said, do not bring any other doctrine.
Right.
Teach no other doctrine.
Right. That's what he said in the book of Galatians.
Amen. So now we are, this is when men slept, the tares are now being sowed in.
Mm-hmm.
Other doctrines are now coming in. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also.
Mm-hmm.
So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have the tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this.
Mm-hmm.
The devil has done this.
Mm-hmm.
And the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go up and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat also with them.
Mm-hmm.
But let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in my barn.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to go on to the explanation. If you skip down to verse number 36 in Matthew 13,
mm-hmm.
it says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him,
mm-hmm.
saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the parable of the tares of the field.
Mm-hmm.
He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm the one that sows the good seed.
Mm-hmm.
The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. That means the devil has children.
Mm-hmm.
It says that plain as day right there.
Yes.
There are children of the devil. He did not literally have babies, but he has the spirit. He has imparted his spirit unto men. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
They follow after the spirit of wickedness. They follow after the spirit of lies, because he is the father of all lies.
Yeah.
So they are following after his lies. They are following after his wickedness, and they are his children.
Yeah.
God has no claim on those children. They are the children of the devil.
Right.
The enemy has that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And he shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be a wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We have a promise for us that we are going to be delivered out of this life, out of this world. We are going to be in the throne with God, with Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
We are going to be sitting in the position of the sonship. We have a promise for the life thereafter. Amen? But those men who are establishing wicked ways and are prospering in this day and age, there are men out there are doing wicked things, damnable things that should not be prospering, but they are prospering in this day. They are serving after money. They have sold their soul for a position. They have sold their soul for money. They have sold their soul for possessions. They have sold their soul for fame. They have sold their soul for fortune. They will have an end.
Yes.
And the end thereof is hellfire. The end thereof is a wailing and gnashing of teeth. They will be rooted up out of this earth. They will have an end, and they will be eternally separated from God. They will be in the lake of fire and know that they have sold their soul. They have walked out of the place. They have turned their back on God. They have actually cursed God.
Yeah.
And they say they will never serve him. They will never bow down unto him. But every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess at the great white throne of judgment. They will have to bow themselves down, and they will have to say that, Lord, you are the Lord of all, but the Lord will cast them off. The Lord say, you that work iniquity,
depart
from me. I never knew you.
Yes.
I do not want to be in that position.
No,
amen?
Nobody in their right mind. No.
So now, getting back to the book of Galatians, we know that Paul did not want to labor in vain. He wanted to take away this false doctrine. This is what Paul was fighting against. This was Paul's major fights in this world was to preserve the gospel in its pureness and in all of its integrity. Amen?
Yeah.
The way he had to preserve the gospel is to keep all Judaism out of the gospel. The other way he had to preserve the gospel is to keep all paganism out of the gospel. So when you start inserting Sabbath days, when you start inserting festivals, when you start inserting all these things into the gospel, you are compromising the integrity of the gospel,
yeah,
and you are bringing forth false doctrine. This is what Paul was trying to preserve. This is what Paul was trying to keep out of the gospel. All of these festival days, all of these holidays. I know we're in the holiday season, but that's not the gospel. Amen. That story in the manger that they talk about is not the gospel. Amen.
No.
It is. There's truth inserted within there, but if you search out the origin of Christmas and the origin of having a festival on December 25th, you know that is not Christianity. That is not the day that Jesus was born. Jesus was more likely born in the month of September or October. It has no bearing on Christianity whatsoever.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
So we should not be talking about the reason for the season.
Right.
Because Jesus Christ is not the reason for the season.
Right.
The reason for the season is for you to eat dinner, amen, to eat ham, to eat turkey, to eat chitlins and greens. The reason for the season is to give each other gifts, is to give each other presents, and to have materialistic festivals, amen.
Right.
That's what paganistic festivals do, amen.
Right. So there's nothing wrong with you regarding a day, but some of us, many people go around people because we have time off of work, and we have over the years. But the point being, you get a chance to witness, you shouldn't be ashamed to make it plain.
Amen.
Like people say, put Christ back in Christmas. He never was in Christmas. And I heard someone on the radio when I was on my way in, they were saying that. What are you going to say, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? I say the latter.
Amen.
They made the days. Happy. They made the day's holiday.
Amen.
Because he had nothing to do with Christmas.
Yeah.
Period.
And
it's about money.
He even says in I believe it's Philippians, he says, observe no holy day,
mm-hmm.
which is...
the body is of Christ.
Transliterated, holy days translates into holidays,
mm-hmm.
amen? We shouldn't be observing these types of things in worship.
Mm-hmm.
We should not be inserting these things into our worship. Now, am I saying that we should not go around our families on these days? Am I saying that we should not go and have dinner? Amen?
No.
No, that's not what I'm saying. As long as you blessing your food unto Christ, amen?
That's right.
And you know that it's not being sacrificed unto idols, and I haven't met any of my family members that sacrificed their food on the idols and doing that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that we should not gather with our families, that we should not be around our loved ones, but we should know that coming together on Christmas is not worshiping Christ, amen?
Right.
Coming together on Christmas is a marketing tool in this day and age. So, but we don't want to get caught up on Christmas and caught up on holidays. We may save that for another day, another time.
Yeah, next week.
But as we go forward, in verse number 15, it says, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. So now, he's talking about these men that have come unto them and brought the zeal of the law and their zeal for the customs that were practiced in Jerusalem. They had great fervent desire to follow after these customs, to follow after these laws. And they brought that unto them and imposed it unto the churches in Galatia. But Paul said, you weren't like this before. He said, you had so much love that you would have plucked out your eyes and gave them unto me. Now, this leads us to believe that Paul suffered from an eye disease. Because if you look through his epistles, I believe it's this epistle and I believe Philemon is the only epistle that Paul wrote with his own hand. So mainly Paul dictated his epistles unto one of his close friends, either Silas or Timothy wrote a lot of the epistles. They transcribed everything that Paul would say,
mm-hmm.
but Paul actually wrote this letter himself, and it is believed, it has been theorized that Paul had a degenerative eye disease that he could not rightly see everything, and he had a tough time seeing things. That's why he had to dictate all of his letters. That's why he had to dictate all of his epistles, because he couldn't really see that well. But that is speculative at best. We can't really know what exactly was the reference here. But that is what many scholars have come to believe, that Paul had an eye disease. That's why they would pluck out their own eyes and would want to replace them with Paul's eyes, because they wanted Paul to have the benefits of having good eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
That is one theory that has arisen over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So as we move on, it says in verse number 19, my little children, of whom I travail and birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me that ye desire to be under the law. Do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. And these things are an allegory, but these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. This she was the one that bore Ishmael. So Ishmael came before Isaac, but Isaac was the son of promise. He came out of Sarah.
Yeah.
For Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, that thou travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband.
Mm-hmm.
Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now, because they want to be in a place of respectability. They want to be in the place of the firstborn. They want to be in the place of favor of God, but they are not so. They are not the sons of promises anymore. He put away those covenants.
Right.
He put them away. He prophesied to them in the book of Zechariah that he was going to put them away, that he was going to break the covenant with them. He broke the covenant. He actually divorced Israel. I believe that was in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. He told them, I'm divorcing you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm serving you a bill of divorcement.
Yeah.
There was two ways to end a marriage in the law. One was divorce. The other way was by death. So he divorced Israel. He divorced the 10 northern tribes because they followed after harlotry. They were caught in adultery. They were serving other gods. They would not follow after God. They served their whole heart after idols. Amen. They brought idol worship into the temple. They would not reverence God at all. He divorced them. He said, I put them away. The other way, so he was still married to Judah and Benjamin, the two southern tribes that took on the name of Judah. He put them away through death.
Yeah.
This is why Jesus Christ hung on the cross. He put that covenant away at his death. Amen?
Amen.
And took up a new bride. We are the new bride. The church of God is the new bride of Christ. We are the virgins that are going into the bridegroom's chambers. We are going to be with him. We are going to rest with him. We are going to worship him. We are going to stay with him forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
This is what the 19th chapter of Revelation lays out for us, and we need to be cognizant of that. We have a promise. We have a hope that we are looking towards, and we are not going to be deterred by any enemy that may try to come into our path. We are not going to be deterred by any obstacle that may come into our path, but we are going to throw our hands up and we are going to worship, give ourselves over a living sacrifice for him, which is good and acceptable unto him. Amen?
Amen.
So let me just finish out this chapter, and we'll pick it up next week in the fifth chapter. He said, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman. We are not under the law, but we are free. I promise, amen?
Yes.
Because Isaac received all that Abraham had to give. He blessed all the other sons, but he gave us all the promises, amen? All the promises were in Isaac. All the promises are within the church, not within the law, or within the church. Amen?
Amen.
I know we will close out again next week.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
All right.